Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Don McDonald. This is Talking Real Money. And with me, as always, most weeks, unless, of course, he takes off early for a soccer game or something, is Tom Koch in the Bellevue studio. He knows if you're going to tell me something, I'm going to tell our listeners.
I know. I got to learn to be more careful. I should just exit and not anything.
Hey, I'm all about sharing because they went to all the trouble to listen in. So we might as well let them know everything that's going on.
I've got my hand up. Is it okay if I leave early today?
Yeah, the business is what you can I have a
Mr. McDonald?
Pass?
Yeah. Mr. McDonald? Yeah.
I want to leave early today. I don't want to talk about today's topics because I'm kind of bored. Soccer's more fun. Hey, everybody, but you can call and keep me company later when he's gone at 855-935-TALK or keep us both company right about now, 855-935-8255. It's really easy. It's really free, and it's really about the things that are important to you, not the topics that we pick, which we do. We do. We pick topics. That's kind of how we start out every show, but the direction we end up taking is, well, determined by you, really. 855-935-TALK. Call every Saturday from noon to 2 Pacific, 3 to 5 Eastern. It's so easy. Now, today, Tom sends me a list of topics that we've discussed vaguely. And I'm a little confused because I remember what you sent me or what we talked about earlier, but your title became all about selfishness. The title is, with investing, it's all about you?
You like that? No, you didn't like that.
No, I'm intrigued.
Here's why.
Are we going to talk about selfish investing? Is that where
kinda,
we're going?
Kinda.
I thought we might.
Isn't it kind of selfish? I mean, it is about you, right? I mean, it is about returns you need and volatility, all that stuff.
Okay, so but from that respect, it's not like it's just about me and the heck with the rest of you. I want to make all the money and you get nothing.
It's confusing right now. I mean, because
it's always confusing.
But it's more confusing today because this article points out that I love when they throw all these numbers. Only 13% of the time since 1960, there's two numbers, has the economy expanded faster than 2%, there's three numbers, while cash returns were above bond returns and yields in the fixed income market were still above 4%. You get all that?
Okay, I got it. Okay, so what they're saying is that with high economic growth, high short-term rates versus longer-term rates, that we're in an aberrant period.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that's nice. Very well. That concludes today's show. Appreciate you listening.
All right. So all about us, though?
Well, because here's the thing. I mean, so because it leads to confusion. Right now, people call us all the time and say, why do I want to invest in stocks? Because I can make 5% in
CDs,
money market. Yeah. High yield, whatever, right?
Right.
CD in some cases, I guess. Why do I want to invest in anything but cash, especially when it comes to the fixed income part of my portfolio? Because it's paying more than bonds. Safe bonds, I mean, relatively short, intermediate term bonds are paying, 4%, right? And I certainly don't want to put my money into those risky stocks because they look really scary. Sometimes they go down, right? And then I don't think they're ever coming back. So it's a very confusing time. It feels like, so what do I do with my money then? How do I decide where it does go? That kind of thing.
Okay. I'm just
and they quote some pretty interesting other numbers.
Yeah.
For example, regarding equities, had you bought $1,000 worth of stocks, according to this article, at the 2007 market top, right? The very tip top, I think it was late fall 2007.
Right before it dropped about 50%.
Well, yeah, a year later, the $1,000 is $637.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to laugh at this. Not that you're not laughing already.
I'm laughing now, just quietly.
Buying a 10-year treasury for $1,000 in the final quarter of 2017, seems like data mining, left them with only $969 by the end of 2022. Now, that might sound like a lot, but that's only a $30 decrease in 5 years. But in other words, you didn't make any money. in fixed income in that time, right? The value.
Is that the point?
That's the point. In other words, there
and
are.
I'm with you on data mining.
Money. Yeah, that seems very. But we'll talk about, I think, the lessons for people here in a minute.
Yeah, they're because I'm really kind of lost about the significance of these numbers. Yeah, sometimes things go down. Stocks, generally more than bonds. Give us a call, 855-935-8255.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
In medicine, a second opinion might save your life. With investing, a second opinion might save your future. The trick is getting one without a high-pressure sales pitch. Well, I'm Don McDonald, and if you've been listening to Talking Real Money, you know that our goal is to help everyone create a brighter future by investing and managing money better. That's why, in addition to helping everyone on our show and podcast, we are also committed to making our 100% fiduciary advisors at Appella available to help everyone make the best financial decisions based on science. So if you're being pitched a financial product or a system, make sure you get a second opinion with no cost, no obligation, and no annoying sales pitch by going to TalkingRealMoney.com.
That's why you want to leave.
Or call 800-386-3004. That's 800-386-3004 or TalkingRealMoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Now we have the truth. Now we know the truth. We know why Tom wants to leave today's show a little early. It's a beautiful day in the Seattle area.
Uh-huh. Sit on my deck and read, man. I tell you what. It's one of those days.
That's
wow.
See, in Florida, it's a beautiful day every day except the summer.
Yeah. You got
Then it's miserable.
Bad times
and
coming.
That's why I'm leaving. That's why I'm leaving. Oh, we've got a little question I want to ask all of you in the country a little later on. So stick around. About the trip.
Okay.
Anyway, we have a phone number you can use. It's called 855-935-TALK. Well, that's not what it's called. That's what it is. That's the number you use. That's its name, too. That's why we call it that. We call it 855-935-TALK. And we got lines open for all of you out enjoying the weather in Seattle to call us. Now, we have a number of disparate facts that Tom has shared with us. We have unusually high economic growth in the United States. We have unusually high short-term interest rates. Then, for some reason, he also shared with us the fact that if you bought stocks in 2007, you lost money by the end of 2008. Well, we were all shocked by that. And if you bought bonds for some reason in 2017, you lost a little bit of money by 2023.
The end of 2022. It does sound a bit like data mining.
So
yes.
What do all these things have in common? What ties these together?
What ties them together is that right now people are very confused if they come into money, kind of where to put it, right? I mean, there's still $18 trillion in banks. There's $6 trillion in money market funds, which have seen a huge inflow in the last few months. There, of course, is a lot of money in stocks because people still think stocks will make you more money over the long haul, which they have. But the reason I bring this up is because it turns into a difficult time for people to figure out how to invest. The reason I said it's all about you is, first of all, for me, short-term money, I don't care what it's paying. That's still short-term money. In other words, I would not take a bunch of my money and say I'm going to put it into a money market or a CD or a similar instrument if it's money that's for the long haul. Now, it's going to feel great right now because the money market, I think, at Charles Schwab, for example, is paying 5.2%. And you're going to say, well, where else am I getting a guaranteed 5.2%? A few places, but it's hard to find, right?
Right.
It leads to people being confused. But to me, short-term money is for things like those sort of cash instruments. It should not be invested for, I'd say, anything longer than 3 to 5 years, for sure. I mean, this is money that you're set aside when you're going to have a purchase, pay for college, do something like that, right? It's got a purpose. It's going to be short-term. I think that is undoubtedly very important.
What you're saying, I think, in all of this, The message remains the same. The song remains the same, as Led Zeppelin sang, that your short-term money should be in short-term stuff. Your long-term money shouldn't be in short-term stuff. Your long-term money should be in long-term stuff, in which you take more risk.
Very confused because it just seems so easy to make 5%. Although I did have someone correctly point out the other day, I'm making 5% right now.
Right.
In that. Right.
Right
now.
Now. Correct.
That could change very quickly.
Right. It could change tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, maybe Monday, but I mean soon.
Yeah, you're
not
Sunday.
Okay.
But
here's the other thing.
Nobody knows what day this is if it's a podcast.
That's a good point. And here's the other thing that people get confused about and really do not pay attention to, because it just goes counter to human behavior to think more than 3, 5, 10 years down the road. Most people look at the current situation, they see those rates, and they say, I really want to do that. But they have no idea what rate of return they need on their money to either create the wealth they need or to maintain what they've got.
So it comes back to that overarching concern, that overarching lesson that we try to share. You need to know what you need. You need to know what you can stand. And you need to know what you need to do those things.
Exactly. And most people just don't look at it that way.
Instead of just looking at the number.
Yeah,
they look at the number. Now, you gave out some numbers. I just want to come back to something because I heard.
Oh, you're going to call me out on these? These aren't my numbers, by the way.
No. I want to do this. You mentioned how much money in the U.S. in cash and
in banks it's like $18 trillion.
$18 trillion in the banks. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and in money market it's somewhere around $6.5 trillion.
And globally, I looked it up. Globally, in stocks, there's $112 trillion.
Wow. That's
$112 trillion. That's $112,000 billion. 112,000,000,000 dollars. The reason I was thinking about that, because we spend an inordinate amount of time in both here, and we shouldn't spend that much time on, and across the news media, the financial news media, talking about an asset class, loosely defined, called Bitcoin or cryptocurrency.
Oh, we're getting back. This is going to come back to crypto somehow?
Well, because I just looked it up, even with the big run in crypto right now.
Isn't it $1 trillion or something?
It's $1.3 trillion.
Still relatively small number.
Yeah, it's 1,000. I mean.
I know. But it's sexy, it's new, it's cool, and it's the next big thing, man.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Okay. And you are none of the above. I don't know.
No, I never claim to be any of those things.
Me either. So it's
nor
okay.
will I ever be.
You stole my thunder a little bit because I was trying to say short-term money, short-term money.
Yeah.
Long-term rate of return is what you need to know. And then knowing yourself. That's where this all came from. If you know yourself around volatility, around risk, you're going to be so much more successful than about 95% of investors who see something happening and respond to it. Because if you know you can't take the heat of, what did they say, $1,000 going to $637, you should not be in an all-equity portfolio.
And some equity portfolios, some indexes even, did worse than that.
Yes, they did.
So it depends on how you define your all-equity portfolio. So then here's the problem. This is the problem. Most people blanch at the idea of even considering starting a planning process. It sounds insurmountable, complicated, mind-numbing, and very constricting. So how do you suggest folks with, $100,000, $10,000, $1,000, how do they do this? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, do they need a plan if they have $10,000?
Well, they need to know how they're going to invest it, don't they?
Well, okay, then the first step for anybody then would be taking something like the risk quiz.
That's a good idea. Do you know where take the risk quiz? Do you know where you can take it? You just go to talkingrealmoney.com.
I thought you were going to say, do you know where you can put it?
And you click on the risk quiz button.
Sorry.
Just go to, that's very helpful because it is a scientific approach.
Right.
trying to ask telling questions. It's not just, you could say, okay, so how much risk can you stand? Oh, a lot. No. So what it does is it goes through some scenario kinds of things and forces you to really think about the process, and then it calculates an answer based on that. So it's not 100%, it's not foolproof, but it's pretty darn good. I mean, I've taken it several times. Pretty accurate. Go take that. That'll tell you what risk you can take. And then what you need to figure out is, so when I get to retirement, how much money am I going to need to make? That's going to tell you how much you need to save and how much risk you need to take. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back to our little program. I'm Don. That's Tom. We're here to help you deal with money. And this summer, we've been talking about it for a while, I am taking the newly restored Airstream, keeping my fingers crossed that it'll make it without any problems. And I am taking it across the United States over 30 days in July, going east to west, and then taking it back across the United States for 30 days in September, going west to southeast.
And what is the futures market on this right now? I haven't looked at the odds of whether or not you make it all the way here or all the way back.
What I'm hoping. I'm hoping that work we did on the Airstream actually sticks. And that if something happens, I can find somebody who can fix it quickly on the way. Because we're going to take it slowly. I'm doing about 3 to 4 hours driving a day because I still have to work later in the day.
That's true.
Here is the beginning, the rough, and this is where we need your I need your help, because I want some of your ideas. We have a tentative flow chart on the giant map that literally took up the entire kitchen table. It's a 6-person table. Spread it out. Put little sticky
wasn't
things.
Big enough.
Put little sticky
wasn't
things all over. Yeah, it was big enough. Big
no,
map.
It wasn't. You remember, I voted for Eastern Europe. I voted for Ukraine.
Is going to be the international road trip, though.
Yes, it is.
No, it is. No, it's going to be international. All right. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
I already know we're starting in Asheville, North Carolina. That's where the trailer's going to be stored, because my mother's there in a nursing home, so that's a good place to start. We can stay in a RV place close by, get the trailer all set up, ready
Asheville.
To go.
And what's the Asheville. Date of departure there, Lewis
the
and Clark?
The tentative date of departure is the 5th of July.
Wow.
2000.
Significant.
So what I'm going to do is give you a couple of 2 or 3 locations where we're absolutely going to stop at the beginning, in case you guys might have an interest in seeing us when we camp in those areas. So starts in Asheville, then we go to east of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, between Winston-Salem and
Chapel Hill.
Very familiar
with that, so sure.
Chapel Hill. Then we're going to go up to beautiful Blacksburg, Virginia, home of the Virginia Tech Hokie Highs. They do the hokey pokey and they turn themselves around because, you know, that's what it's all about. Then we're going to go up the Blue Ridge Parkway through Shenandoah, Skyline. We're going to stay in Shenandoah National Park, boondocking it. Means without.
I don't know what that means.
That means without power, without water, without a sewer connection. We're self-contained for 3 days.
Okay. Yeah. It's like going to the dark side of the moon or something.
It's
okay.
A trip.
Fair
it's
enough.
A trip. Yeah. Then my daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter live near Lancaster, PA. So we're going to go up and stay in a place there. My daughter's already picked out the RV park where we're going to stay close to her for a couple of days. So we're now to about the 14th of July. So if you have any interest in those places, just go to Talking Real Money and send me a note on the contact form. Just send us a note on the contact form.
Can I go on there and tell you where I'd like to send you?
Well, you know where this ends up.
I know. You know, one of the convenient things about where it ends up is, on that drive that I had built, had you noticed it's right next to the swamp? I mean, with a couple pushes, You're right over the side.
Yeah, that
never
thing
to
is,
be heard from again.
That thing's a little heavier than you can push.
I got my grandsons for
that. Oh, they're stout little guys. Anyway, and then the next stop from there is somewhere in the Corning, Elmira, New York area, because it's the right amount of distance. So that'll be about the 15th or so in that ballpark. Then we go international for our friends north of the border. And because we're trying to cut across to Michigan, so we're going to cut across and probably stay in Hamilton, around Hamilton, Ontario.
That is north of the border. You're
and
correct.
Then
okay.
Continue over to middle Michigan somewhere. We don't know exactly where yet. And then up to Traverse City. So that's the beginning of our tour.
Wow.
And if you have any places, if you're a listener to the podcast or you're just listening to the show online or you're interested in meeting up with us somewhere along the way, send us a note. Tell us a cool place to go.
You want to hear my travel plans for the summer?
Yeah, you're going to Africa. No one can visit you there.
And not by silver bullet either.
No one can visit you there. The ultimate stopping point is Seattle, Washington. Are we going to have anything for listeners and clients and people to come
along the way?
No, it went in Seattle.
Oh, for sure.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
You're going to plan something?
I have no idea what, but yes, we'll come up with something. See. Pizza.
855-935-TALK. Give us a call.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
I checked with the mayor during the break. And
the mayor of what?
The mayor of Seattle, no key to the city when you arrive, but they're working on an alternative, and that may have something to do with, we'll just leave it at that for now. We'll see. But anyway, so no key to the city, but I got something special
for
you.
The key to the city, they won't open a darn thing. They're just, have you ever seen a lock that big?
I tried it on Bank of America.
It didn't work. Doesn't open anything up. 855-935-TALK. We're talking about money, life, stuff. Anything, really? Well, no, money-oriented, but almost everything's money-oriented, so we're good. Hey, Rob, you're up. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Oh, thank you. First time calling in. I love your show. I had a real general question for you guys. So I'm 56, just turned 56. About 2018-ish, I was, in my 401ks, I was directing my own funds, usually target funds and all that. And then I did go with a managed account starting in 2018, paying a little under 1%. And I know yesterday's gone, it's a new day, but I'm just curious what you guys would say would have been a fair rate of return for going back from today 3 years. And the reason I ask is going into the managed account, of course, I was asked a lot of questions about, okay, how much you own your own home, which I do, how much equity, what's your risk tolerance? And 6-ish years ago, I said to my broker, high risk tolerance. If the market crashes, I know I'm going to wake up and I'm just going to hold, try to let it recover. High risk tolerance. What do you think that my average rate of return should have been for the past 3 years in that type of profile?
Wow.
That's a great question. So, okay, when you say high risk tolerance,
yeah,
if you look at your portfolio, could you tell us your stock to bond ratio?
Yeah. I've been in 70-30.
Okay.
For the past 2 years, I did meet with them 6 months ago on the phone, and they are changing it to going up to about 80-20 based on some of my other assets. But I was in a 70-30 mix for that 3-year period.
Now, why you say 3 years? I thought this is since 2018.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I switched over to the managed account in 2018, but I'm curious to know. So I've been with them, since 18. But if I go into my account and I can look at my performance on my funds and I can do a, year-to-date, 3-month, 1-year return, 3-year, I'm curious to know what you think.
You see, this is a question that is truly almost impossible to answer because it depends is the correct answer. It really depends on what kind of a portfolio you would have built over that time. All I can do is give you like benchmark things. For example, the total world stock index over that period of time returned roughly.
And what period of time are we talking?
From 2018 to 24.
So he said 3 years. Now you're saying 6 years.
I'm saying six. Over 6 years, it returned about 30%.
In 30% total return.
Total return, yeah.
Because it went way up, and then it went way down in 2020, then it went down again in 2022.
Yeah, but
I think we lost him.
Did we lose you, Rob?
I think I heard him bounce off. I mean, this is something everybody wants to know, right? They get a lot of phone calls like, well, how do I know that I'm, you know, invested properly? How do I know I'm getting a fair rate of return? And they give you a date, like how about since this date? And it's difficult to help you do that. Here's what I would look at conversely. Number one, because he mentioned he was 70% in stocks, 30% in bonds, then 80-20, which I don't understand the reason for the change. But then I'd be looking at out of that 70, how diversified am I? Because I'm betting you've
it's
got
not.
More in large growth, kind of, you don't have enough in small. That would be part one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would be looking at, am I getting treated fairly in terms of cost? Because in addition to the he said almost 1% he's paying to help manage the money. There's the cost of the underlying investments that people have a tendency to overlook. I'd start with those two things first rather than saying, did I make as much money as I should have made? Because it's very hard. That's just it, without the specific dates, specific assets, that's hard to know if that's true or not. It really is.
Here's the thing. If you we can kind of make some comparisons. One, if you told your advisor that you were had high risk tolerance and you're young, 70-30 sounds pretty conservative. I mean, that's where I am, and I'm 10 years older. I mean, relatively young.
Enough.
However, I'm looking at a 70-30 portfolio, total market, from January 1, 2018 through the end of February 2024, and we're looking right around 30% for 70-30 for that exact period of time. So that's a ballpark.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you suffer from hodgepodgeitis? I'm Don McDonald, and hodgepodgeitis is a disease of your investment portfolio whose symptoms include lots of stocks, loads of random loaded mutual funds, and maybe an annuity or two. Most who suffer from hodgepodgeitis dread opening their quarterly portfolio statements. They feel lost and confused. Investing seems overwhelming and the financial future uncertain. If you believe you suffer from hodgepodgeitis, see a 100% fiduciary investment advisor immediately. A proper diagnosis is the first step to creating a portfolio with a purpose based on a personal plan. Start on the road to recovery now by scheduling a free meeting with an Appella advisor at TalkingRealMoney.com. There is no cost, obligation, or high-pressure sales pitch. Take the first step at TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004. Hodgepodgeitis is not a real disease, but treating it has been shown to improve mood, reduce fear, and even lead to a brighter financial future. Results may vary.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back to our show. It's an easy program to be a part of. All you have to do is call us at 855-935-TALK on a Saturday. If you're listening to this as a podcast, just call on Saturday between noon and 2 Pacific, 3 and 5 Eastern. And we got Rob back, and he has a follow-up question. Rob, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Sorry for the cell phone dip. So, yeah, thanks for answering the question from what you think a decent return should have been with a managed account from 18 to present. And my main question was when I met with my broker, I'm the one that said, hey, I'd like to go up a little more risk. I'm at 70-30. I'd like you guys to push me to 80-20, mm-hmm. which they just recently did. But one of my questions to him was when I met with them in 18, I said, high risk tolerance. You know, I can sleep at night if the market's bouncing. And I said, why wasn't I in 80-20? And they sort of answered my question, but you know, again, yesterday's gone, can't go back. So, and my original question was, what would be a decent return in a managed account at my age from today back 3 years? So we could go 21 to 24.
So if we're just going 20,
I see. 21 okay, so 23, to 22, 21, basically.
From January 21 to February 24.
the end of 2023, basically.
The total, annualized at about 6% in a 70-30, or a total return of about 20%.
And your previous statement is an interesting one. I mean, this gets back to either getting professional advice or getting sales advice. And we lost him again. Because if you go generally, if you go see your broker, insurance agent, and you say, hey, wait a minute, I'm missing out on X, I should be making more, I should be taking more risk because I told you guys that, blah, blah, blah. Generally, they will say, you're right, we can fix that. You should be in this. If you go see a full 100% fiduciary advisor and say, if you come to me and say that, I'm going to say,
you want to well, be, no, you have we, to be in what we told
agreement.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, because we have an agreement. We've signed an IPA. We have all those things in place. That's why we're here, because you're 55 years old and you're trying to get to retirement. We agreed this is how to do it. That's a, there's a big difference there between an advisor and, frankly, a salesperson that you need to be aware of. Absolutely.
Now, just, I don't know if this will make you feel better or worse, but had you been in an 80-20, the difference between a 70-30 and an 80-20 over that period is
in which period now?
From January 2021 through February 2024.
3 years.
This is a globally diversified equity portfolio with intermediate bonds, average intermediates. We're in the ballpark. It would have been about just under 1% more a year.
A year. I mean, in that 1%. From your 50s on can make a
and that's not for on, that's not a difference. that's you know that is not an exact number. That is a ballpark number. This is just for comparison purposes only. And again, the devil's in the blasted details. What I would really want to know before I could say are they doing a good job or not is to know what they have you in.
Right.
I'd like to know the breadth and depth of the portfolio.
Managed. Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
The fees matter. Oh, there's so many things that matter in this equation. So I wish you well, Rob. Thanks for the call. And AJ, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi. Yes, I talked with you guys a couple of weeks ago, and you really gave me, I was 90 year old lady who was going to transfer all my stocks into mutual funds to make it easier for my family after I'm no longer here. Mm-hmm. And you talked me out, you told me that was not a wise thing to do, and I'm so grateful because I had already done a little bit of it, and it sure as heck should have raised my taxes for this year. So anyway, but what I want to know is what do you, I'm new to this area, so I've only listened to you, this is probably the third, fourth time. What do you usually recommend, bonds or bond funds? I have some bond funds, but I also have many, many, many individual bonds, and they're just a pain.
Yep.
But at the same time, I know that if I invest $20,000 or $100,000 or whatever I'm investing, if I hold it long enough, I'll usually get my money back plus the interest. Whereas the mutual fund, I know it can fluctuate. So what mm-hmm. do you, being as I said, I'm new to listening to you, I don't know your philosophy.
Well, then, here's the reason we're going to share it.
We could go both sides. Yeah, I mean, first of all, the reason I favor bond funds is for what you just mentioned.
Simplicity.
They're easy. You buy the right ones, you get them at extremely low cost. And guess what? If you go out and buy a bond, unless it's from Treasury Direct, there's a cost to that. If your broker sells it to you, somebody else, they're getting it for nothing. No, you're not. They got a way to figure out. They slice it up so you don't get as much of what you should get. I would trust somebody like Vanguard instead, who does that with gazillions of issues every year, buys all these bonds up and gives you you can buy bond funds, you know, with expense ratios of almost zero now. So I love that. And part two, let me just finish the thought on what you said at the beginning in terms of giving to your family. I think it's wonderful you want to help your family. This came up in a recent conversation with a client, and they're trying to move a bunch of money from pre-tax to post-tax to make it easier. I asked the daughter who was sitting there, is it okay if your dad gives you money and you have to pay tax on it? She said, sure. Yeah, I mean, this is free money. You want to give me free money? I got to pay tax on it. I'm okay with that. So anyway, I think you're doing the right thing. Don?
And as far as the volatility, bonds may bounce around. Bond funds do bounce more, although bonds themselves bounce. It's just that if you hold them to maturity, you get the amount that you put in, the face value of the bond, if you bought them brand new. But they don't bounce very much. The worst year in decades was 2022.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the volatility was negligible to practically non-existent for many years prior. And 2022 was the culmination of a freakish set of circumstances.
40 years of freakish.
Yeah, we had rates dropping from 1980.
Yeah.
Through 2022.
Long time. Yep.
And I mean, they dropped to almost nothing. So the value of bonds had nowhere to go but down. But now, see, the thing about the fund is when bond prices fell in 2022 a lot, Vanguard was going out and buying lots of new bonds at those lower prices.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? When rates fall,
so
when they do.
What kind of bond fund do you recommend?
We just love.
What kind of a?
We love the sheer simplicity and the massive diversification and the incredibly low cost of the Vanguard Total Bond Market Fund or ETF. BND is the symbol of the ETF. It is the most diversified portfolio because it owns all the bonds in the total bond index. So you will own,
what's the expense ratio?
18,000 bonds. 18,000 bonds.
A little bit of diversification there. Yeah. Uh-huh.
At 0.03%.
It's ridiculous. And AJ, the only reason you would need, municipal bond fund, which Vanguard has some very fine ones as well, would be if you're in a higher tax bracket. Otherwise,
I'm just the total
bond.
And the lovely thing about BND right now is it's yielding 4.5%. The SEC yield is 4.5% today. And that's diversified.
Well, let me tell you, I think I have 10,000 of those 18,000 in my portfolio.
And we're coming over later.
You know, every time one comes due, then you have to figure out what am I going to do with it now. And it's been okay, but I'm getting too old
to deal with it. Just put it in BND. Every time they mature, put it in BND. Thank you so much for the call, AJ. 855-935-TALK is our number. Give us a call. We'll try and help you muddle through this money mess we all deal with.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Only because it's really darn important, and we know that it can be a little frustrating and confusing. So call us at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Every now and again, we talk about the real estate industry and the buying and selling of homes. And there was a recent court case, a big judgment against the National Association of Realtors and a couple of real estate companies. And now the National Association of Realtors has reached a settlement with the courts will settle the commission fixing cases, supposedly, against them, should it be accepted. And I got to tell you, this is going to throw the real estate business into a bit of turmoil.
Well, and I will add this. I mean, if you read recent write-ups about this, there's many people are saying it's going to be the best real estate market. This is going to be the biggest change since the changes they instituted in the 1930s. I don't know if I agree with that because you're still facing very low inventory, and people that do own homes have very low interest rates. So they really have no interest to
buy
something else. But I do think it'll be better for people that have hired someone as a buyer's broker, right? In other words, they've gotten representation because I want help when I go out and look. Mm-hmm. They're going to, and right now the seller generally pays all these. In fact, I just went back and looked at the agreement that I had the last time I did, and I paid a lot last time I sold a house to the broker that was the buyer's broker. So I paid both ends of the
right.
Both
usually
ends of the deal.
The way it works is there's a six. It used to be 7. Now these days it's 5-6% commission that goes to the selling agent. The selling agent then puts in the listing, we will give half of that to the buying agent, the buyer's agent. Now those two transactions are going to be bifurcated. They're going to get split. And now if you hire a buyer's agent, you will negotiate a commission with them to handle the work for you, and the seller will get a commission from the seller. Now, I don't know the details, and the devil's always there, but my thinking would be that the seller's agents now will get no more than 3%. If selling agents are now getting 6, you know, they're going to say, I'm going to take the whole 6 then for me. Then it's not going to do anything to change the system, and it's going to make it worse for buyers. I don't know about how that's structured. But if it's structured how it should be structured, and half of that 6 or half of that 5 is what the selling agent's going to get, and then you negotiate with your buyer's agent for the 2.5 or 3%, or maybe you get 2, or maybe you get 1.5, or maybe you say, I'm going to give you a flat amount of money, and you represent me in the closing, and I'll do all the legwork.
And this is the part that I really like, because Americans pay about $100 billion in real estate commissions a year. That's a lot. I like the fact that this is now more out in the open.
Yep.
All these things need transparency. I mean, you need to know who you're paying, how much you're paying, and why you're paying them. I mean, that's what I love about this. And I do think it'll change, makes things cheaper into the future. How much, I think, is still under debate. But it's a step in the right direction.
It's a lot. What we're seeing is the same thing we saw with travel agents. I mean, that industry changed dramatically. There are still travel agents, but we do most of the work ourselves. And with Zillows and Redfins out there, this is going to really change the way we buy houses, because it is going to take that real estate agent collusion out of the equation. And we do in the United States have the highest real estate commissions in the world. Our real estate commissions are still where things were in the old days.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions. Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy. Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone. This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Please see Appella Wealth's ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services. Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast. Is anybody still listening?